This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Okay, it's good to have back on the broadcast here on BPN Radio, my friend Frank Massapica, and we have a very interesting subject to talk about today. Probably maybe you've never heard this talked about, I'm not sure, but Frank Massapica grew up in Boston, has been in ministry over 35 years. He leads a thriving church in Humble, Texas, a suburb of Houston. He has served as a public school teacher, adjunct instructor of psychology at Lamar University. He's a licensed marriage and family counselor. He ran for United States Congress, served in the Air Force. He's the author of several books, including The Touch Me Not Woman, Putting Pants Back on the Church, The Unsupervised Man, The Unsupervised Woman. And he is the author of the book we're going to talk about today, Meet the Beast. And Maz is married, the father of 6 children. Proud grandpa of 3. Welcome back to BPN Radio, Maz.
Thank you so much for having me. I so enjoy discussing these topics with you.
Well, today we're gonna blow the lid off the can, I guess, today. And okay. We're going to talk about your book, Meet the Beast. You're a very knowledgeable man, very read man, and you're very insightful. And Meet the Beast, I know, is a concise and straightforward presentation of the 5 beasts depicted in the book of Revelation. Talk about that today.
Yes, I don't want to confuse your listeners. I do realize that when I mention in this book, and it's a very short book on purpose, because I concentrate on just the main beasts that are mentioned in the book of Revelation and Daniel and the other sister books of Revelation. But when I speak of the beasts, I speak of the beasts that are identified in different ways, like the beast that come up out of the waters, or the beast that comes up out of the land, or the beast that is the whore of Babylon, or the crimson-colored beast that the whore is riding on. I separate those two, and then there's the dragon beast that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. And lastly, the beast that comes out of the abyss, which is called Apollyon. There are some writers, very learned writers, that would feel that these beasts are really overlapping. They're just being called different names, but they are of the same beast under the leadership of Satan. But I felt it was important to just identify them as separate beasts because they have different functions. And that's why I did this the way I did. I kept it under 100 pages because often, when you have new folks in church and they get interested in the end times, sometimes authors that are so knowledgeable often just try to do broad strokes and try to cover everything about the climate and wars and rumors of wars and the Antichrist, false prophet, 666, mark of the beast, the governments, and there's just too much. And it's just information overload. So this book that we're talking about right now just really focuses in specifically about the beasts in chapters 12, 13 of the book of Revelation. And I try my hardest to try to identify this.
Well, I know that you have spent decades researching the hints, signs, wonders, and warnings of these biblical end-time events. So it's not just something that you've thought up lately, but I know that you have studied these for several decades. And
yes.
And I know you're going to make some bold and alarming statements here regarding yes. the identity of the beast, but I know that we need to hear some things about end-time prophecy, so here we go.
Okay. Did you want me to start, or do you have some questions first?
Well, You've talked about the five beasts, and can you identify each of these five beasts? I guess they're all in the book of Revelations, right?
Yes.
Can we take one at a time?
Yes, sir. The first beast that I mentioned is the beast that comes up out of the waters. And like many commentaries and theologians that are well-read, they believe that waters are people, tumult, chaos, crowds. Mm-hmm. I find it amazing that the immigrants that are pouring out right now out of Europe are being described by magazines and network news as a flood of waters, just pouring. There's another adjective, pouring, a verb, pouring into Europe and pouring into the United States and etc. And they cannot be stopped. And they are bringing violence. Much of the news that is covering these immigrants at first try to depict them with dying babies floating on waters, mothers trying to find a good place to start a brand new life out of Syria, fleeing from ISIS and fleeing from the Syrian civil war. But this first beast, I believe, is going to come up out of the waters, which is the Antichrist. I do not believe that the Antichrist is going to come out of anywhere but out of Islam, radical Islam, more specifically. And I feel like it's in the scriptures, and I do have sightings in my book that the Antichrist coming up out of the waters, first chapter, he will be an Assyrian, Assyrian. And the reason why I say Assyrian is because that's how the Bible identifies him. He will be of the ancient Assyrian lands that take in where ISIS calls the caliphate, which is, it takes in, which is ISIS, which is ISIS, which includes I for Iraq, S for Syria, and the other IS is Islamic State. Mm-hmm. So he's going to come up out of that caliphate area. And I wrote this book just a month before ISIS actually came on the scene, which really put a lot of credibility to my belief that they will raise up a man that is called the Antichrist to us. To them, it is their Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I, their Messiah. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a big, big thing. And I believe with all of my heart that Iran is going to present. They pride themselves in presenting this Antichrist to the entire world. What they try to do, and I'm trying to get out of this first chapter and tell you about the other beasts, but I just keep remembering some things I need to share, that they are trying to insinuate that their Messiah, their Antichrist, if you will appear on a white horse, almost just like as if Jesus was coming on a white horse, but also that their Mahdi, their Messiah, our Antichrist, if you would, our term Antichrist, will appear with Jesus Christ together, the two of them. The problem is that whenever somebody speaks to an Islam or a Muslim and they say they believe in Jesus Christ and the return of Jesus Christ, this is a totally different Jesus. Their Jesus believes that upon arrival, he will direct everyone to the sovereign religion of Islam, of Muslimism. He will partake in having the entire world destroy Israel and kill Jews and kill any Christians that are, well, that are not following their belief system of Jesus. This Jesus will also command that all crosses and crucifixes will be snapped or cracked in half, and synagogues and churches will be destroyed. This Antichrist, in summation, first chapter that I wrote, is going to be an Assyrian. He will be either a Syrian, an Iraqi, or an Iranian. And he will rise up among these immigrants, and he will bring peace when they're flooding Europe and they're flooding when they're flooding the United States of America. He'll settle them all down. And this is going to be presented, according to the Iranians, very, very soon. They are going to present their Mahdi. They said that they've already met with him. They already have met with the Messiah, their Mahdi. This was on a video that was not supposed to be released, and it was released on YouTube It was only supposed to be released to the revolutionary armies of Iran in Iraq, but it got out and it went everywhere. It just went viral for just tens of millions of people have listened to it. It's not in English, but you can read the captions that they are soon to present this Mahdi is soon as they can invade Israel. And that's why everybody's excited about invading Israel. The second chapter, I mentioned the second beast, and this is the false prophet. Many believe that the false prophet is the Pope, or the Antichrist is the Pope. I beg to differ with many of my constituents. I reserve the Pope for the third chapter, and I'll get to that in just a minute. I'm not persuaded that that is him because of too many scriptures that speak about actually the Pope in a separate area, a separate beast. Mm-hmm. The false prophet is going to be raised up, and he's going to bring, as many people know, this is nothing new, bring attention toward the Antichrist, which Antichrist pretty much means opposing the true Christ or posing as the Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is a person that believes that Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead and that he is not the only Son of God, that he is not the Christ, the Messiah. And that's why the Antichrist is going to say he is the Christ and that Jesus Christ is just a good prophet or just a good man. Mm-hmm. I believe something, and this is going to be kind of really freaky for your readers. Chapter 2, concerning the beast that comes up out of the land, who is the false prophet, he and the Antichrist will encourage people or force people, if you would, to take the mark of the beast, which we've studied many times in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. That is 666.
Right.
And most believe it's going to come out of Europe or the Western societies, and it's going to be some type of financial system with barcodes or some type of chip that's going to be injected under your skin. I am not of that persuasion, Dale. I believe that Jesus Christ would not condemn everybody in the world that would switch over to some financial institution or some financial system. I believe it would have to be something far worse. It would have to be a recanting of Jesus, the leaving of the belief that Jesus Christ is Lord, to convert over to Islam, to convert over to Muslimism, to radical Islam, and to reject all of Christianity and to reject the word of the Lord. So bringing these two together, I believe, and I'm not alone in this, mind you, that the mark of the beast is actually the Islamic symbol. The Islam symbol that is coupled also with the ISIS symbol. And when you look at it, not only does it have the symbols that appear to be sixes, but it has when John wrote the symbols or the numbers of the mark of the beast, the actual original manuscript, he actually drew the picture, the symbols of 666 when he was writing. So he was writing the book of Revelation. He comes to the mark of the beast in chapter 13 and he begins to draw a symbol or a picture. And this picture is likened unto what radical Islamic soldiers and followers have. Right hand or forehead? Well, they have bandanas that go across their forehead. They have bandanas that are wrapped around their wrist. Mm-hmm. These are symbols that if you do not follow Islam, they will kill you. This is already nearly instituted in a lot of the nations, Dale, around the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You have a choice. When ISIS comes to your front door, you either A, you recant Jesus and convert to Islam, meaning you take the mark, you take the bandana, or you take the engraving, or you take the tattoo, or whatever it may be. It may even be an injection of a capsule, but this will be an Islamic thing. This is where I believe Jesus Christ will condemn you to hell, where the book of Revelation says that anybody that takes the mark is condemned to hell. I can't imagine that God would condemn us to hell because we switched over to a non-currency financial system. I would believe that he would condemn us if we were to just turn our allegiance away from Jesus and turn to Allah and turn to Muhammad. And so they give you three choices when they knock at your door. Number one, recant Jesus Christ, or one, you will be beheaded, or two, you can choose to pay the tax. In other words, you will be able to live, but you've got to pay the money. Mm-hmm. Or three, and incidentally, on number two, no one so far has been able to pay that tax. And number three, if you choose not to be a new convert and recant Jesus Christ, you choose not to pay the tax. The number three is that you become a martyr. You will be beheaded, like the scriptures say in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, when you read the Quran, and I have read the Quran states that if any unbeliever or any goyim or a sporic or an unclean man that is not Muslim refuses to recant, then strike him on his neck, which means behead him, cut him across the throat. Mm-hmm. So I believe that the false prophet will also come up out of the Middle East. I do not believe that this man, the false prophet, will be a stranger to us. I think that they're already living. The Antichrist, the false prophet, is already living. I think we've already seen them because we're that far along. That's what I believe about the Mark of the Beast and the 666. I go to my third chapter, and this is where a lot of people had a lot of trouble when they begin to read it. Chapter 3 is when I identify the third beast, who is the Whore of Babylon. And I believe that the Whore of Babylon is the Vatican and the Pope. The Whore of Babylon, incidentally, was referred to in the first and second centuries as the Catholic Church. The people that, I'm not first and second centuries, I'm talking about the third century. I'm so sorry. 325 AD, which is the second century. I'm sorry. They identified the Whore of Babylon as Mystery Babylon. This is the Vatican. To prove that I believe it's the Vatican, that is the Whore of Babylon, the woman that is sitting on the beast, is that she is drinking the blood of the saints of the living God. The Vatican has had a history through centuries of martyring, killing, maiming, torturing 50 to 75 million people under the guise of them being a heretic, not to even mention the Crusaders that went and invaded Jerusalem for centuries because the Vatican decided to take Jerusalem. So he got everybody in England and France worked up, and he called them the Crusaders. The Vatican has a history of looking just like this Whore of Babylon. Why call her a whore? Well, when you look at the Vatican, they are very alluring. They dress beautifully. They have all the scarlet and the purple colors. They have the gold and the silver and the crowns. Even their outfits, the papal hat that they wear, and even the cardinal's hats, it appears to be a fish head, an open fish mouth. And on the back, it has two long tassels. Well, this is exactly like the priests of Babylon for false gods, for the god Dagon. Their priests wore that. It was a half god, half fish. I can go on and on, but the woman on the beast rides a beast. She is not only the one killing and drinking the blood, but she is riding a beast, which is very interesting, which brings me to my next beast, and that beast happens to be the Crimson Beast. On a side note, I need to mention that the Vatican has been against Israel forever, it seems like. Presently, modern-day Vatican, they're against a standing army in Israel. As a matter of fact, the Vatican has only recognized, officially, has only recognized Israel as a nation in 2008. Israel has been a nation since 1948. The Vatican, which is a nation, has only recognized them in 2008. This is really crazy what I'm about to tell you, but the Vatican has only recognized them with a diplomatic relationship in 1993. They are anti-Semitic, Dale. The Vatican has been into, I'm not talking about your Catholic neighbors. I'm not talking about your Catholic friends. I'm not even talking about the Catholics that attend my church. I'm talking about the government of the Vatican that is run by the papal and run by the Jesuits. And this has been going on for centuries. The Vatican does not want the Jews to have Jerusalem. They are anti-Zionist. I can go on and on. They are pro-Palestinian, sympathetic for Palestine. And they said back in 2010, the Vatican did, no promised land for the Jews, and they are not the chosen people. I can just keep going on and on, but I know that you don't have the time for it. I mentioned the next beast, which is the fourth beast, is the Crimson Beast. I think I'm doing this right, but the Crimson Beast is the beast that is the beast under the whore of Babylon. The Vatican is riding this beast. The red beast is Islam. It is radical Islam. For centuries, Dale, the Vatican has been working in tandem with Islam for centuries. As a matter of fact, they created Islam. I have cited in chapter number 3, and this is the reason why the publisher of my 5 books will not publish this book, because of chapter number 3. That if I took chapter 3 out of the book, they would publish it. But because this publishing company, and I love them dearly, I'm a friend of the owner, they're good men and women of God, but because 67% of their customers, their buyers, they don't sell directly to the public. They only sell to bookstores and bookstore franchises. Are Catholic people. They cannot do this because they're afraid to lose. And this was told to me by my literary agent. They're afraid to lose their sales. And chapter 3 outlines that Islam was created literally by Jesuits centuries ago, 500 AD. I cite references, one after another. And what's so amazing about this chapter is that I knew I was going to have trouble, so I put chock full of information here, and this is a bomb I'm dropping on your listeners. But they work together. Right now they're working together. The Pope, Pope Francis, let's just call him the office. I'm not throwing stones at Pope Francis the First. I'm just talking about the office of the Holy See, the Holy Seer, if you would. They had intentions of invading Israel, taking Jerusalem, and they were supposed to give the Vatican Jerusalem. Islam recanted. Islam said no. They reneged. And so that made the Vatican angry, because they supplied all the manpower, they supplied all the armory, the weapons of warfare to attack Israel. And when they took the land, when they took the properties there, when the Vatican did not receive Jerusalem, it infuriated the Vatican. This is centuries ago during the Crusaders. What they did was they mustered up an army of their own, and they called them the Crusaders. And they did this under the name of God. And to this day, people believe that the Crusaders was a holy war. It wasn't. It was a war where they sent Englishmen, Europeans, but mostly the French, into that land. This is during the Robin Hood days, King Richard the First, you know, all those wonderful movies we love to watch. In reality, it wasn't a holy war. It was the Vatican retaliating against Islam, and they were going to take the Jerusalem away from Islam. They felt it was their rightful property. They wanted the Temple Mount. Why did they want the Temple Mount? They wanted the Temple Mount so they could build a second Vatican site, which would be the third Holy Temple. This is not something I'm dragging off out of thin air. This is something that is clearly cited, and this is something that very few people read. I'm like you are, Dale. I'm a reader, and I've been reading and studying this since 1978. January 27th, 1978, I began my studies on the end times. And revelation after revelation has opened up to me that The Bible says that they're working in tandem right now, and they're trying their hardest to unify the armies of Islam and the political clout and the 1 billion Catholics behind them to take Jerusalem away from Israel, either by a peace treaty or by force. Of course, eventually both will be had. There'll be a 7-year peace treaty, and then there will be another Holocaust. Israel will lose Jerusalem, and there will be a third temple built on that temple site. The weird thing about this is, according to the word of God, the crimson beast, Islam, will turn on the Babylonian whore, the whore of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, which is the Vatican, will turn on the Vatican, and Islam will destroy the Vatican, destroy Rome. It's in the scriptures. And so the Bible says that the crimson beast will devour the Vatican, devour the Pope. The Pope will escape with his life. He'll step over dead bodies. You wonder, where in the world am I getting this? This is the amazing thing about it. Not only is it cited in the Bible, not only is it cited by theologians, but here it comes now. Even the prophets or the seers of the Catholic Church has cited that this was going to happen. And it's an amazing study, and I try to keep it concise and not to be too complicated. That's why it's under 100 pages. The fifth beast is the dragon beast that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. And the dragon is, well, the dragon is a beastly character, but he's the old serpent, the devil, who slanders God and who is an adversary of God. And out of his mouth, and this is very bad news I'm about to share with you, in chapter 12 of Revelation, a lot of folks don't realize this, but out of his mouth will gush a lot of water. And that will be people or nations that will invade Israel during our lifetime. Satan will send in the crowd, if you would, the masses of nations against Israel. And they will destroy Israel. And according to the scriptures, the Bible says that God will only retain 1/3 of the population of the Jewish people. Now, the Bible does say that a wing of a great eagle will help them escape into the land of Edom, mm-hmm. which is Petra, which really is modern-day Jordan. Mm-hmm. And Jordan will hide them for 3.5 years. But there will only be really 1/3 of the population. The rest of them will be a literal Holocaust. Lots of people believe that God is going to keep Israel until his second coming. This is not true. When Jesus comes out of the sky in his second coming and during the rapture, that's when he destroys everybody that raised his hand against Jerusalem and raised his hand against Israel. But that beast, that fifth beast, the dragon, because he knows he has a short time, he's coming down to this earth and he is going to wreak havoc. This is what my book is really all about. I'm skipping a lot of facts here. I must say that my book has been selling like crazy. There is one more beast that I mentioned, and it is the beast that comes up out of the abyss, Apollyon. Mm-hmm. Apollyon will come up out at the very last days, and you wonder who in the world these demons are, and who is this leader of demons? This leader of demons has been shut underneath rocks, if you would, in the center of the earth, and is not permitted to roam the earth like other demons or like other principalities in dark places or like Satan, because these are uncontrollable demons. These are the worst of the worst. They are like the German shepherds and the Doberman pinchers of the spiritual world, mm-hmm. and God will not permit them to be released. Well, there will be a time when an angel will come and open up the abyss, which just means a bottomless pit. And out from the abyss will come these demons, and they will go all over the earth and they will torment man for 8 months. And it will be devastating. What's so strange is they're related to the word locust. Locust is something that you think that will eat trees and grass and leaves. These locusts don't do that. These locusts that come up out of the abyss only afflict man. which is not what a locust does. And so it's kind of like the angels of heaven release the chains or the leashes on these animalistic demons and just causes havoc all over the world, especially in the Middle East. This is the reason why, and I'm summing it up right now for you, Dale. This is the reason why I wrote this book, to show everybody that there are really five beasts that are going to attack during the 7 years of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that, first of all, I want to tell people that you're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, this time, anytime here, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. And it's good to have my friend Frank Mazapika, who I call Maz. And we're talking today about his book called Meet the Beast. And I know that there are a lot of Christians, Maz, they don't want to hear anything about this. They don't want to hear anything negative about this, but we know that we are living in the end times, and the Bible clearly talks about these things that you've been talking about, but you have some tremendous insight. I believe there's also a group of people that that are Christians, and they're very interested in the study of the end times, things to come, and they still have they still have their computers on, their iPhones on. And then we also have a group of people that are non-believers, but they're very interested in what you have to say. I know it's quite interesting because you grew up a Catholic, right?
Yes, I was an altar boy back before there was a Vatican II, which means that I did it in Latin. I went to a Catholic school with the intentions of becoming a Catholic priest until I learned what the word celibacy meant. And then I was out. But I wanted to be a priest. I spoke in Latin. I learned Latin in the 8 years of Catholic school I attended. Mm-hmm. All my teachers were nuns and priests. Mm-hmm. I did high mass and low mass. I was very affluent in my community when it came to the Catholic Church. And when I got saved some years later, I realized, oh, my goodness, I was really being called of God while I was a Catholic. We have lots of Catholics in our church, and I love them dearly. Mm-hmm. The however part is that it is, it's a shock to the Catholics, as it was for me, to find out that the history of the Vatican is a very tainted, bloody history. And it hurts them so terribly because it's a beautiful religion to the eye. And that's why when the book of Revelation says that the Babylon shall be destroyed in one day, and all the nations of the world will weep and cry because of the sights of the billowing smoke that they will see afar off as Babylon burns. Mm-hmm. Most people think that that's the United States of America because, after all, Dale, as we do pray for America each and every day in our prayers, many people know that we have an evil nation that is turned on God in many ways. Mm-hmm. But the church is praying for God to have mercy on us. But I do not believe that Babylon is the United States of America. I believe, like many of the second century people believe, that Babylon is the Vatican, and here's why. Imagine this. Imagine if Islam invaded the Vatican, broke through the walls, and begin to burn down the Sistine Chapel. Think of all the nations that would cry. Mm-hmm. Think about all of the artwork of Rembrandts that I've seen with my own eyes. St. Peter's Cathedral going up in smoke. Imagine the Vatican is not a very large area. It's like 3.5 miles square. But could you imagine all the Pope and all the cardinals and the bishops, all of them being killed, bloodily killed, all the silks and the gold and the silver that has it, there is no value you can put on what this place is worth. People that go there is just like they're quoting the Bible. They're in awe. Anybody that has ever been to the Vatican and has seen the statues, the Pietra, the David statue, the statue of Mary holding Jesus, the statue of Moses. There's no way I could sit here all day telling you the beauty. And when that goes up in smoke, the entire world will weep. Right now, as ISIS is destroying a lot of the archives of many, many religions gone by throughout all of the nations around the Middle East, just smashing them in Greece, in Israel, but in Syria, in Iraq, people are upset about the archives losing these precious sightings that we look at as historical values. But I don't know about you. I've been there. I have seen with my eyes Rome. I've seen with my eyes the beauty. And I have to say to you, as much as I know that most of it is idolatry, if not all of it is idolatry, especially their crosses and crucifixes that are solid gold, and all of the catacombs and all the bones of all of the popes of years gone by, the entire world will weep. That's why I know that the Catholic Church, or more specifically the Vatican, is Babylon, Mystery Babylon.
Wow, that's very exciting, and that's very challenging at the same time. Because, you know, it's all kind of in a different perspective with the Pope visiting America recently, and all of the attention, the new attention, actually, that has been turned toward Rome even lately. And I really believe that we are we're definitely living in the end times. As a man that studied the end times, where is the rapture of the church at? Where's the rapture at?
Well, I believe that a lot of people are waiting on things to take place before the rapture takes place, and I believe it's incorrect. I do not believe that some of the things that they're waiting for is that critical. I believe, Dale, that the rapture could happen at any given moment, mm-hmm. any time. Mm-hmm. And when the rapture takes place, right now we're in the time of sorrows. There's no question in my mind about that. Because the Bible says when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, mm-hmm. and you see wars and rumors of wars, and you see nation fighting against nation, this is very important to say this, because this has not happened before. You see wars and rumors of wars throughout our history of mankind. But we've never seen all of these armies encompassing Jerusalem like we see right now,
right.
where they're moving in. And incidentally, ISIS is trying to self-fulfill the Battle of Armageddon. They are trying to lure Russia and the United States to put boots on ground, because they say that they're the good guys and we're the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to answer your question, when will the rapture take place? I believe that we're in the rapture age right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's anything that we need to be waiting on. Nothing at all. Something else. I don't think that we are looking at a 7-year tribulation. Now, please don't think that I'm going way off mainstream evangelical. I am mainstream. I'm not coming up with something that your readers are not going to go, yeah, I think I believe that as well. The reason why I don't believe in a 7-year tribulation is the following. And this goes along with when the rapture will take place. You see, the 7-year tribulation, if you were to take a look at it, has 3.5 years of lots of bad that is being done by man to us.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet, but lots of affliction by the Antichrist, lots of affliction by government, wars, and you see beheadings. There's 330 on an average, 330 Christians a month is being martyred around the world. Hundreds of thousands of Christians and Jews are being killed in the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that the first 3.5 years will be a time when man inflicts the world. The second 3.5 years is when the wrath of God inflicts the world. The wrath of God is the seals that are opened, the trumpets that are blowing throughout the book of Revelation, one plague after another. It is my belief that the people of God will not undergo the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not reserved for the people of God.
Right.
People that think that persecution brings the best out of Christians, that might be true. But God never, and those scriptures bear record of this, he never punishes the people of God with the worldly people. So my point is that we are undergoing tremendous wrath from mankind, removing the Ten Commandments, taking away our belief system, removing Jesus Christ out of literature, and on and on and on we all can go.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the schools, out of government, homosexuality everywhere, transsexual things happening in our lives where we can't tell the difference between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm saying. We are living in the days of sorrows, but when the 3 years of the beginnings of the tribulation happen, that really is not the tribulation that we should be concerned about. It's the second part. So I'm going to say that tribulation is really 3.5 years, not 7, because God begins to inflict tremendous amount of punishment and wrath during those 3.5 years. So when will the rapture take place? I happen to be a pre or mid tribulation believer. I could be a pre-tribulation believer because of the two examples that Jesus Christ gave us through St. Peter and himself in the book of Matthew chapter 24. He says that there are two allusions, or there are two similes. The first one is Noah, and the second one is Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah was in his ark with the door shut by the hand of God. Noah did not shut the door. God shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they were safely in the ark for 7 days before the storm came. This is a pre-tribulation simile. Mm-hmm. Also, Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels constrained Lot's family to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they made it by the skin of their teeth because Lot's family didn't want to go. But they ran to the mountains, and very few of their family made it. Really, only Lot and two of his daughters made it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is they escaped before tribulation came, before God rained hellfire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. I could lean toward being a pre-trib rapture person. I can also believe in a mid-trib because I don't believe that the tribulation is going to be 7 years. I think it's going to be 3.5 years. So I think just before God's wrath hits this earth, the people of God will be taken off of the earth.
Are you?
That's my belief.
Okay. So are you saying that we may be in the first part of that tribulation period now? Is that what you're saying or not?
No, I think we're in the times of sorrows right now,
uh-huh.
Just like it says there. The reason why we know it, because he says when you see wars and rumors, was the next sentence is actually the key. The key is, but when you see my people being persecuted for my name's sake, persecuted and prosecuted for my name's sake,
mm-hmm.
know that the time is nigh. And right now is unbelievable that even in the United States, there is a war against Christianity in almost every nation. As a matter of fact, it was announced by leaders, and I had it on YouTube, I showed it to the church, that leaders of our government look at evangelicals as a danger to our country as much as any terrorist would be.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of an evangelical, and you can be a Baptist, Episcopalian, a Protestant, Pentecostal, you can be a non-denominational. An evangelical is a person that evangelizes, that proselytes, that mm-hmm. feels that they have a testimony that they share with somebody. And so they find this, in our government, a dangerous thing. That's why in many cities of our country, it is illegal for you to preach openly in a public square,
mm-hmm.
in a public opening.
Mm-hmm.
Even acts of crime are being held against Christians that speak out against homosexuality and cross-gender, things like that. And that's illegal. You can't do that. Not only are you fined, but you can be cited and you could be incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening all over the world, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
So when this begins to come to a place where the Bible says when God's cup of wrath is come to full, when the cup is full, in other words, I've had it up to here. You've killed too many of my people. And not to mention, of course, all the beheadings that are going on regularly.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I believe the tribulation begins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's going to happen anytime. It's going to happen very, very soon. It's the United States is not involved. We don't have boots on the ground, but I'm going to tell you right now, when our boots hit the ground, it will not be good for us. It's going to be very bad for us. We're going to lose a lot of men, a lot of women, Army, Navy, Air Force, and the Marines, SEALs. It's going to be devastating. In Syria alone, Damascus will be destroyed to a place of a heap of ruins, which identifies nuclear warheads going off. It's going to be bad, Dale.
And so you're referring to war in the Middle East, our involvement in the Middle East and Syria. What are you referring to?
Yes. You see, we always have to remember that it's not about Washington, D.C. or Moscow. It's always about Jerusalem. It's always about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about the Middle East. That is the center of the world.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, during the thousand-year millennial reign, the capital of the entire world, the Bible says, will be the city of Jerusalem. So, yes, I'm referring to, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and chapter 39, that he is putting the hooks in the jaws of all the nations of the world and pulling them into the Middle East. Every nation, boots on the ground. I mean, right now, Gog and Magog, which is Russia, they're there. He has just recruited, he's drafted 150,000 more troops in Moscow to go to Syria. He's bombing Syria. The United States is bombing Syria, but we're not on the same side. Iran has boots on the ground in Syria. Why all this Syria? Well, like I said, the Antichrist is going to come up out of Syria. What else? Damascus is in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Damascus is going to be a heap of ruin. All of this is all going to happen right in the middle of this caliphate, this Syria-Iraqi border. That's where it's all happening right now. It's going to be devastating. And incidentally, the Battle of Armageddon is 200 miles long, which means it starts in Israel and it goes all the way clean into Syria, northern Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is not 200 miles wide. I've been in the Valley of Megiddo. I've stood in the valley where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. I stood right in there. And that's not 200 miles long in Israel. Israel's not that wide. It's, what is it, like 9 miles wide? Not literally, but it seems like it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go right into Syria. So everything, to answer your question, all boots on the ground in Syria, fighting with Assad, fighting with Syrians, fighting with Iran. But remember this, don't ever get confused, Dale. The tip of the spear is the nation of Iran. They're the ones that represent the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Wow. That's amazing. So as pastors and leaders, many who do not adhere to the rapture are saying very little. So what about pastors, and what should be their position? Because many of them are just wanting to encourage their people, give them hope, and talking about these end times, they say, causes people not to have hope. And
yes.
So what do you say to pastors and leaders that make those statements?
Well, I'm not really sure how to answer that, but I will say that there is great hope when I say all this for several reasons. Number one, and you've been serving the Lord far longer than I have, Dale. As a matter of fact, you've been preaching longer than I've been saved. That says a lot. And I've been saved and preaching going on 40 years now. But my point is this. I've been waiting to this day my whole entire adult life.
Mm-hmm.
It is scary. Yes, it is. But I believe that he's got his people in his hand. We are going to be in a spiritual Goshen. The land of Goshen was the area that the Jewish people lived in during the 10 plagues that rained upon the Egyptians because they would not let his people go. None of those plagues ever touched the land of Goshen, which was a ghetto, which was a slum. Where I come from the Boston and New York area, it's called the Project. They lived in the Projects, but they never experienced the wrath of God. It all hit the Egyptians. I believe the hope for all the Christians is that if you're in Christ, the wrath will not touch you. And if you're a preacher of the word of the Lord, you need to preach the coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church. Because the Bible says that Paul says this, if there's no resurrection, if there's no rapture, we are men most miserable. In other words, there's no reason for us to be living if we do not have a resurrection. The Bible says that if that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, it will also quicken or lift up your mortal body. This is the hope that we've been waiting for. Yes, I'm scared. I have to admit that. I don't want to see these things happen, especially to my nation. I served in this nation in the military for nearly 10 years. I was a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. I mean, I am an American through and through. Forgive me for this next term, but I am a right-wing conservative. I believe in moral conservatism, but there's going to be a day that our country will not be a country anymore. And I know that we are all citizens of another nation, of another kingdom, that we're just passing through. The Bible says, watch and wait.
Yeah.
That, you know, and come Lord Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, even so, come Lord Jesus. I know what you're saying, Dale. I'm reading in between the lines, especially these past 10 years. That people coming out of seminaries are saying that they have not been taught the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the Vatican has released information that there will be no second coming of Jesus Christ, that it's foolhardy for us to be waiting on Jesus, that we already have a Jesus on the earth, and he is the victor of Christ, which is the position of the Pope. That's why so many people are following him. That person cannot be trusted because he is unifying all the religions of the world, and he is very effective, and he is creating a one world religion, and he has taken Jesus Christ out of the picture. He said these words about even evolution, that there is evolution, that we came from primates. We actually came from monkeys or reptilians. We came from reptiles. He said, this is the only logical explanation, and here's how he said it. He says, God is not a magician. He doesn't have a magic wand. He can't do anything that he wants to do. Everything has a process, including mankind. Mankind was a process from a lowest species to a higher species. Any man that talks like that does not know God, but he represents himself as the vicar, or the replacement, or the equal of Jesus Christ. People are kissing his hand, kissing his ring, bowing down. There are millions of people throwing themselves and throwing their babies at him. People are claiming to be healed by him, that are in wheelchairs. On and on I can go. There are false Christs. The Bible says in the last days, for many false prophets shall rise and mm-hmm. shall deceive many.
Mm-hmm.
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
I rambled on you.
No, you haven't rambled. You've just filled us with all kinds of information here, and you have done your homework. We don't talk about anything we don't pray about. You've got about 60 seconds to pray. And how can people get your book?
Amazon.com. Just go to my author page, Frank Mazapika, or just type in the five beasts and they'll find it. It's okay. Less than $10.
Okay.
It's easy, cheesy to get it.
Okay. Say a prayer, say a 60-second prayer, and we'll be out of here. I know so many people are so interested, and they want to know, and they've heard things today. I'm sure they're not, very few of them probably have heard in their church. So thank you for doing your homework, and let's pray.
Father, I ask you that if there's any listeners that have had some doubts in their walk with Christ, I pray that they quicken themselves with belief and believe that the second coming of Jesus is soon. And I pray for those that are not believers, that they'll turn themselves over to Jesus Christ because he's coming for his bride. I pray, please, if there's anyone out there, turn yourself over to Jesus Christ. Jesus is your only hope. These are the only words I can say to you, that you will be having everlasting joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Frank Mazzapica, thanks for being on today. And God bless you. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.